Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th and 10th chapters.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach the message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Be seated.
Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus has been preaching and teaching and traveling around for some time now in Matthew's gospel. There are many who have heard him and wanted to hear more. There are some who have heard him and thought that he was crazy and sounded like he was possessed by a demon. But everywhere that Jesus went, preaching and teaching, in those days, it was in an isolated place. It was in one specific place at one specific time. But today we read in Matthew's gospel that it's time for the message to go out in a wider way. What God has sent Jesus to do and proclaim was about to go out through the disciples to a much broader audience. And the way to make this happen was to send those 12 men out. Now, this should not have been a surprise for them. They've been with Jesus for some time now, and during that time, Jesus has been preparing them to go throughout Israel into the cities and the villages with a very simple message. The kingdom of heaven is near. But he's not sending them to everyone. No, the message is for the lost sheep of Israel. Perhaps the 12 men had some idea of what being sent out meant and what it looked like. After all, they had been with Jesus for probably a couple of years now. But Jesus' lengthy send-off in chapter 10, which we only read a very small portion of this morning, gives the men some real insight into what they're going to be up against. In fact, it becomes a sober warning about what being a disciple truly means. Now, to start with, being a disciple of Jesus isn't what the crowds that are following him really expected it to be. In fact, Jesus has been warning them about what a disciple is and isn't for quite some time now. In chapter 7, Jesus tells the disciples, "Not everyone who says, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does is the one who does the will of my Father in heaven." Then Jesus goes on to say, "But they will say, 'We cast out demons, did mighty works, prophesied in your name.'" And Jesus says, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." So clearly, being a disciple has nothing to do with performing miracles or preaching in his name. The true disciple is known by Jesus and who does the will of the Father. In chapter 8, two separate followers came up to Jesus wanting to be a disciple, to follow him farther. But Jesus makes it clear that this is not an easy thing to do. A sacrifice is required because it is not an easy or comfortable calling. It requires putting Jesus ahead of home and ahead of family. And in chapter 9, Jesus responds to the Pharisees who objected to his being friendly with tax collectors and sinners by telling them that following Jesus was not an exercise in conventional piety. You see, that's exactly how the Pharisees thought, that by being righteous, God would show favor to them. But Jesus completely turns this idea on its head when he says, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." For his mission was to die on the cross for those very sinners he was associating with. So now that we have a little bit fuller picture of what a disciple and perhaps who a disciple will be, Jesus prepares to send the 12 laborers out into the harvest field and tells them what they will encounter. And spoiler alert, it is not an open-armed acceptance. No, here's what they will endure. They will be arrested by leaders of synagogues and flogged, at all for preaching the kingdom. They will be dragged before kings and governors and demand that they give an account of what they have been saying, all for preaching the kingdom. They will be delivered over to death by their own family members, brothers against brother, father against child, children against parents, all for preaching the kingdom. And in the end, they will be hated for the sake of Jesus' name, all for preaching the kingdom. Now, I don't know about you, but that does not sound like a very good sales pitch when recruiting new evangelists, does it? Come join us. Preach the message of the kingdom from heaven is near, and you will encounter poverty, rejection, persecution, even lose your own life for the cause. But if you think about it, that's exactly what Jesus himself went through. And it is for this reason that the men are able to face such prospects because Jesus sends them with his authority. It has to be this way because there wasn't nothing about these men in themselves that would equip them to face such hardships with bravery and dedication. Matthew tells us their names, but just who were they that Jesus sent? Well, one of them was a tax collector, a collaborator with the occupying foreign army, which made him an absolute social outcast, a rather excitable fisherman who always seemed to blunder his way into the correct answer one day, and then on the very next day demand that Jesus changes his whole ministry just for him. Along with him was his brother and his two fishing business partners. There were two working class guys from Galilee, we would call them laborers today, another from the same who continually expressed doubt and uncertainty about what Jesus was doing and saying. There was a political extremist, perhaps today we would see him throwing rocks at ICE agents in Portland. And finally, there was a traitor. Not the cream of the crop when it comes to Jewish society. But that's okay. Because what really matters is not who the 12 were or their lack of qualifications for the job. What matters is that Jesus gave them his own authority to carry out the tasks that he had assigned to them. In Matthew 7, authority is what it characterizes Jesus' teaching. In chapter 9, Jesus says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," to the paralytic he says, "Rise and pick up your bed and go home." And in chapter 28, the fact that Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and on earth is the basis on which he sends his followers to the ends of the earth to make disciples in his name. So now that the disciples have the authority of Jesus, they are able to perform the task of proclaiming the kingdom of heaven is near. And this is a great task assigned to the 12. But so often we get fixated on the healings and the casting out of demons. In fact, in Mark's gospel, when he sends out the men and they come back, the very first things they tell Jesus is of the healings and the casting out of demons. But for Jesus, the healings and the exorcisms were simply signs that bore witness to the coming of the kingdom. In fact, the healing of diseases and the crushing of Satan's henchmen were signs of Jesus' final defeat of the devil and all the effects of sin. And that victory comes when Jesus dies on the cross and rises victoriously from the grave. For at that moment, the kingdom of heaven has arrived. So the mission of the 12 was the extension of the mission of Jesus to take that proclamation to the lost sheep of Israel. That's why they should be expected to receive, to be received in the same way Jesus was received, rejected, and for some of them, a cross of their own. But even so, the mission would not be stopped. The preaching mission of the 12 was just the beginning. For Jesus says in the end times, the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the world as a testimony to all nations. And so the kingdom of heaven that the disciples were sent out to proclaim has also come in these last days to you. Not the lost sheep of Israel, but as Jesus would later say in a different context, other sheep that are not in the fold. So through the proclamation of the kingdom of heaven, through God's word and sacraments, forgiveness of sins is yours in Jesus. On that day, when Jesus sent out the 12, preaching the kingdom, it began a harvest that brought each and every one of us here today to him. For we are no longer sheep without a shepherd, for we are now part of his kingdom. Amen.